what a fun show we have for you today. Michael Herkup's here. What's up, Herk?
Yeah, hey, we gave the Yankees one game last night. Okay,
you and you're going to give them two tonight.
Jacob DeGrom's pitching. Come on.
Oh, you pronounced it right.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to come up with some tough names for Herk to pronounce.
Oh, you do?
Herk Donphonics.
Yeah, get that guy who had the fake Dominican passport and he got stopped, because that name I'll never get right in a million years.
I don't know who you're talking about. Oh, the one
the Padres
in Mexico
or something, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how to... Despine or whatever. I have no idea.
I would feel like it's either. French, like Despinage.
Yeah, it could be. I'm gonna submit that on Twitter. I'm going to ask people right now for names they want Herk to try to pronounce. Al Melchior, what's going on?
Nothing much other than I'm just furiously clicking my way through brooksbrothers.net here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you
get, Brooks Baseball.
Looking for a new wardrobe over there?
Yes.
Okay, here's what we're doing today. We got a lot of news. Colton Wong was recalled. The Mets cut Kyle Farnsworth. We had debut day yesterday with Montero, Gausman, and Desclafani, and Nick Tepish either making their Major League debuts or their 2014 debuts. We'll talk about those guys. Want to get into George Springer. Look at some bullpen situations with Joe Smith and Ernesto Ferreri kind of flipping around. Try to take some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We do have some buy or sell to get to and just a lot here. So let's start out with something completely unrelated to what I was just talking about. Trivia question.
Ooh.
Who leads the American League in batting average?
Oh, Solarte.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
How'd you know that?
Big Herk won.
I mentioned it on the air last night.
Yes, they did.
And I was like, what? And I looked it up, and holy crap, Yanervis Solarte in his .336 batting average leads the American League. He is eligible at second base, third base, shortstop, outfield. I just picked him up in two points leagues to be my starting shortstop for now. I dropped Bad Miller and Alcides Escobar. And I don't know how much I'm buying Solarte, so I will ask you guys, are you buying Yanervis Solarte? 336, four home runs, back-to-back games with a home run now, 23 RBI.
Yeah, not to this degree. I haven't gone out and tried to get him in any leagues. I do like Scott's comparison that he's made between Solarte and Prado. Yeah, I'd be lying if I said that I trusted Solarte to the degree that I trust Prado.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you say, Al. The same way, haven't picked him up.
So that just could be like a blanket statement for this whole show?
No, when we get to the debate section, you're going down. But, yeah, same thing. Haven't really picked him up in any formats. I don't believe it because his minor league track record. Although I will give him credit. Last night's home run off Montero was pretty impressive.
Yeah, he crushed that ball. Yeah. All right, well, he's 78% owned. Number six shortstop in points, number five in roto. Let's go to the big news. Jose Fernandez... Well, Scott Boras said he hasn't made the decision yet, but all indications are Jose Fernandez will have Tommy John surgery. The Marlins signed Randy Wolf, who got a three-inning save last night in relief of Anthony Desclafani. Do you think Wolf goes to the rotation? Do you think Desclafani stays in?
It's interesting because upon the signing, all the reports and the quotes were, well, you know, Wolf is going into the rotation. We need a veteran presence, yada, yada, yada. And then Desclafani goes out and has a really good start. Wolf relieves him, and then what I'm reading this morning is, well, he could be in the rotation at some point if we need him.
Wolf pitched well for what it's worth. Three innings, yeah. Three hits, one run, no walks, three strikeouts. Colton Wong was recalled, Herk. You mentioned a few weeks ago, don't drop him. He's going to tear it up in AAA. He'll be back.
Absolutely, and here he is. I mean, the Cardinals, it's really interesting what John Mozeliak said the other day about, you know, this is...
I'm only guessing it's... What is it again?
Mozeliak.
Whatever. Right. He sounds like a GM on the hot seat. I mean, he's really disappointed with how the Cardinals are playing. And if he goes on this, free Oscar. If you have a bench spot, clear it for Oscar Tavares. Did I get that
or
right?
Or Tavares.
All right, whatever.
One Herk Donphonics submission. I'm going to wait for a few more.
Okay.
Would you guys rather have Colton Wong or Yanervis Solarte?
I'd rather have Solarte.
Wong long term.
Okay. Solarte's got all that eligibility. It really helps.
It does.
So the Mets did cut Kyle Farnsworth. Who's next?
Oh,
not
my
to
gosh.
Be cut, but to close.
I would guess Familia. I'll be rooting for Dice Case since I already picked him up a few weeks back. I think it could be either one, but But if you're gonna make me choose.
Yeah, if you're really in a deep format and you have a bench spot, I mean, stash Henry Mejia because has that kind of potential to close.
But yeah. it supposedly won't be him.
Those dance moves on the Mets.
Yeah. Like to see more of those.
Jose Varas is off the DL for the Cubs. What were you saying now? Supposedly what?
Oh, but supposedly it won't be right away. It's a stash move to get Mejia.
Jose Varas off the DL for the Cubs. Any chance he closes?
That's what Rick Renteria said a few weeks ago, that they want to get him back in the close. I don't see why.
I don't either.
Hector Rondon's been pretty good.
So, yeah, a chance, but I would think Rondon would have to blow it.
I'm 1-for-3 now on names.
Boom! Nice. All right, debut day. Rafael Montero, 49% owned. 6 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts, 2 homers allowed against the Yankees. Had a good K rate in the minors, only 3 strikeouts yesterday. Kevin Gausman got roughed up by the Tigers. 5 runs on 6 hits in 4 innings. Anthony DeSclafani was the best of the young prospects.
Which we all predicted, right?
Did you watch any of it?
No, I was out.
Yeah, so 10 o'clock starts. I watched about an inning and a half of his. And 96 mile per hour fastball, it seemed.
Yeah,
good, good breaking ball.
Great command.
I thought he looked pretty good. I put in a $1 bid for him this morning.
He almost reminds me.
I shouldn't have said that because people who are in the league are listening.
He almost reminds me of Rafael Montero in the same that they throw strikes, they got good command. So if you like Montero, kind of have to like Descalfani. But I do like Montero better than Descalfani.
I do too, and Montero's been more of a strikeout guy. But yeah. I mean, Descalfani's got some swing and miss stuff.
Yeah, he struck out 7 last night.
Yeah, and I'm judging just by the whiff rate in the minors and how hard he throws.
He was a reliever in college, so.
Yeah.
And what college did he go to, Adam?
God, actually, Tommy Hutton was talking about how many guys from Desclafani's Gators team are in the big leagues or have been in the big leagues. I think it's like
was
7.
Was he a teammate of Zunino's?
Yep.
Yeah.
And just a lot of other guys I don't really remember off the top of my head. But, man, they had a lot of talent there. It makes me sick. all right, so would you drop Gausman for Desclafani in theory?
Neither theory nor practice.
No? You'd rather have Gausman?
SMH.
So stick with Gausman for now?
Yes.
Even though he's not guaranteed to get another.
Yeah, he was a stash move to begin with, and I didn't have the highest of hopes for the start anyway. First time back in the rotation for a while, a very tough matchup. But I think long-term, he's got more value than Desclafani.
And what about Nick Tepish, guys? Where does he factor in? 5 1/3, 2 hits, 1 run, 3 walks, 8 strikeouts at Houston.
Yeah, I don't see myself pursuing him really outside of AL only.
He sounds tepid on Tepish.
I am not in Tepish mode.
I'm not gonna laugh because I'm just gonna encourage you.
Yes, do it.
You've been hanging around Al way too long. This is Al's wheelhouse here. Do you want to tell everyone what you're looking up on BrooksBrothersBaseball.clothing.net?
Yeah. yes, velocity data for this year from Hector Santiago and Tyler Skaggs.
And who throws harder?
Tyler Skaggs.
By?
0.5 mph.
Yeah, roughly. I don't buy it.
Well, here's the part I don't really get with you saying you don't buy it because
it's just me being stubborn.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was a quick debate then.
No, because we established yesterday that Tyler Skaggs' velocity has been diminishing. So
we didn't establish that. Basically,
it's exactly what you said. No. Not exactly what you said, but those are the stats you looked up. That's what the stats say.
Yeah, because his most recent start. Look, okay, I'll pull up the game log. I think I can remember what the progression was here. I'll say exactly. So 3 starts ago, average of 93.35. This is BrooksBaseball.net on the four-seamer, 93.35. 2 starts ago, 92.61. Last start, 92.28. So, yeah, from 3 starts ago to 1 start ago, a little more than a full mile an hour. But that's very misleading. Because it's a half-mile increment, roughly, between each of the 2 starts. That happens with lots of pitchers.
That's fine, but I'm just saying, when I watch Hector Santiago, he's throwing 94, 95 miles per hour. But maybe it's just a matter of which fastball are they throwing more often? I don't know. But My eyeballs tell me one thing, and first of all, they're within a half a mile per hour from each other, so they're basically even.
Yeah. I mean, they're not significantly different, and if I'm going to make the argument that a half mile an hour dip for Skaggs is not something to get, you know, choked up about, then yeah, him having a half mile advantage over Santiago is also not a thing to get that worked up about. But to say that you don't trust the data...
I'm getting a little bit distrustful of data when I see different websites calculating the same thing and coming up with different figures, like ground ball rate and things like that.
That's like a little bit different. I don't think there's
WAR, for example,
big discrepancies in terms of velocity at all.
Are they getting the data from, though? Do you know? Do they have people at every ballpark with their own radar guns? Or they can't be using the TV broadcasts. That's what I use, and I know that those are slightly unreliable.
Baseball uses PitchFX. Fangraphs has a PitchFX section. So those two sites, and I think and several other Texas Leaguers uses PitchFX.
Well, I was going to say, didn't you guys see that old Simpsons episode where they have MLB has the satellite in the sky?
Yes.
And so
focus in. So PitchFX, are they at every park, or what's the deal there?
Yeah.
All right.
The batted ball data definitely has some discrepancies, and it's very, very subjective, because particularly the ground ball rates, I don't think are that debatable, but line drive versus fly ball, there's a little bit of subjectivity there, but the differences that you see between different sources they're not that great. You know if a guy is a line drive hitter, you know if a guy's a ground ball hitter, the sites are pretty much going to be in agreement.
All right. Stat of the day / Springer Dinger of the day.
Yeah.
Your stat of the day is that the Astros beat the Texas Rangers in a series for the first time in 16 series. And George Springer
was
part of that. He had his third home run in his last seven games. Here's my thing with Springer. In May, he's batting .286 with three home runs and seven RBI in about 2 weeks. We'll take that, right? But he is the number 52 outfielder in points leagues, and number 35 in Roto over the last 14 days. So he's not stealing bases and striking out so much that in points leagues, I wonder if he's even worth owning.
I mean, he's worth owning because, listen, he's pressing at the beginning. They threw him into the cleanup spot for a guy that basically asking to save our lineup, and the Astros were like, oh, we made that mistake. Yeah, he strikes out a lot, but... In the long run, he's going to be the guy that everyone expected him to be. And again, if Gregory Polanco comes up and does this kind of same thing, are we just going to give up on Polanco 2 weeks in?
I just think that the value in point... Well, no, nobody's given up on him. He's still owned in 80-something percent of leagues. 86%. And I'm not... I mean, I own him in a points league.
Yeah.
I'm not giving up on him, but this is a league that penalizes a full point for strikeout, so it's even worse. But standards, points league, half point for strikeout, still, like, doesn't walk... Isn't stealing any bases, but he's striking out so much.
I mean, he's a rookie, but look at these numbers. Aren't you encouraged? He's starting to figure it out.
Yeah, but even in the midst of figure, like in Roto, yeah, I get it. Like, there's no way, especially a five outfielder league, there's no way you're getting rid of George Springer. But in a three outfielder league, in a points league where .286 with three home runs over a 2 week stretch, and he's the number 52 outfielder, like, how much better is he going to get if he doesn't steal any bases, doesn't draw any walks, and strikes out three times a game?
I mean, who would you rather own over George Springer?
Well, I like Michael Morse. I'm just trying to think.
Yeah,
look at who's available.
Michael Morse is right now a top 30 outfielder. It's a bad example.
I mean, so figure in a typical three outfielder league that there's about 40 outfielders because a few are going to be your utility guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and he is currently in this two-week period, right, Adam? That's what these rankings are, 52nd. Yeah. So, at that point, he's sort of on the cusp. I mean, he's not right on the cusp, obviously, but he's in the discussion. And then you're talking about, his upside, because you ask, how can he, gain value? Well, by stealing bases, by walking a little bit more often. And then he does that, and then he, maybe he is in the top 40. And you're talking about him fulfilling that upside versus... other guys, and I could look at the rankings and see who I have in the 40s.
And he's a UConn Husky, so I mean, he gets points right there. So.
Yeah,
like Marlon Byrd. Would you rather have Byrd or Springer?
Springer.
Yeah, I would.
And I'm going to agree with everything you're saying because I don't want to turn away the upside, but I'm just saying.
Like yesterday,
in points leagues, his value might not be as good as his talent because the strikeouts are going to hold you back.
Yeah,
if
well,
you guys think he's going to strike out less, then that's one thing.
And I think the one thing, too, is, you know, we saw with yesterday's home run, that short porch in left field at Minute Maid Park. I mean, that's going to play huge for George Springer. And that's what his home run was last night.
Yeah, that was his first home run home. All right, Wednesday standouts. Give me some guys that that stood out, need to be discussed. We got a lot to get to here, so.
What about David Ortiz, man? Just hitting more and more home runs. This guy's like ageless. He's at 45. He's still going to be hitting 35 home runs a year.
He's the number 12 hitter in points leagues, number 16 in roto leagues.
I'm facing him this week. He's just killing me.
Four home runs in two games, Eric. Bad luck for you.
Yeah.
But it's tough. Do you guys own him in any leagues?
Yeah, in our early roto league, I have him.
And he's tying up your utility spot.
And he's, but I'm first place. I have like 92 points or whatever like that, so I like it.
Nice. Okay, anything else, guys?
I don't know. Julio Teheran, rough start, said he couldn't get a grip, and he normally can't get a grip when he pitches in California, which I just thought was one of the more unique explanations I've heard.
Yeah, it was weird.
From a pitcher.
Lost in translation? Like, Herc in translation?
Yeah.
Bumgarner wasn't very good in that game either.
Maybe he couldn't get a grip. I figured you could do something with that, being an Aerosmith album title and all. You could have.
Would you say he was crying
last
night? Yeah, not bad, right?
Yeah, that's good. I like it. I'll encourage you if you won't encourage me, so.
I'm just trying to think of other songs. You're crying, you're amazing, you're crazy. Does he sound crazy? You know, you could do anything. There's so many possibilities with that album.
Wait, he broke out his phone. I'm eager to see what Al broke out his phone.
Oh,
I have a much shorter list than you.
Oh, okay.
How about Masahiro Tanaka, guys? Complete game, shutout, 8 strikeouts.
I mean, he was facing the Mets, but still, that guy is just his splitter. That is just a nasty pitch. I mean, it falls off the table so fast that fooling all these major league hitters. He's the real deal. I think I'm gonna do my rankings today. Top 15 easily, right?
You have him 13.
Yeah,
now.
I would say yeah. I mean, when you said easily, I sort of, but yeah, I do have him in there.
You have him 9th in roto.
Yeah. Okay.
he hasn't faced an opponent twice yet, I don't think. Are you worried at all? Second time around, league figures.
He could regress and still be a top 15 pitcher. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
he's no number 3 pitcher, Brian Cashman.
How about 7 walks, 66 strikeouts, and 58 innings for Tanaka? K-Rod got roughed up. Second time in 3 outings, he's given up a run. This time, he gave up 3 runs. Any concerns?
No.
Yeah, I can't. Can't say at this point.
Jake Odorizzi, last 2 starts, he's been awesome. 5 innings and no runs in 11 Ks 2 starts ago against Cleveland. And last night, 6 innings, 1 hit, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts, no runs. So that's 11 scoreless and 18 strikeouts and no runs allowed, no earned runs at least, for a guy who's 25% owned. You think maybe he's figuring it out?
Yeah, I think maybe. I don't trust Odorizzi just yet, though.
Odorizzi's big issue has been second, third time the lineup. He gets through the lineup, he gets a lot worse. He also hasn't gone that deep into games. He only threw 95 pitches last night and had a shutout. AJ Burnett, 2 bad starts in a row. Anybody concerned?
Sure, I am, because it's control. It's the issue. No, I mean, I'm on the yo-yo with Burnett because he got off to the bad start. I thought, oh, okay. Maybe he needs Ray Searage around or something, and then he had a sports hernia, but I'm trying to remember the injury that Burnett had.
Yeah, he has a sports hernia.
Was it a sports hernia? Okay.
Not a sports hernia, it's a hernia. And
yeah.
Right, so.
And he made some adjustment that apparently made a big difference because he was much better after that, but now he's back to kind of where he was early in the season, so I'm confused about A.J. Burnett and not trusting him so much.
And as I mentioned, Joe Smith got the save for the Angels. Ernesto Ferreri pitched the 8th. So just hold on to both of them if you can. And hopefully we figure it out soon. An email from Kayla, email of the day number 1, says, I'm sorry. Kayla obviously is a friend of the show and a podcast rejects leaguer. I'm sorry, but Al needs a serious reality check. Ranking Hisashi Iwakuma as the 29th best pitcher is insane. He's tied with Kershaw for the best career ERA in over 50 starts by any pitcher since 1920. The man was 3rd in Cy Young voting last year and has picked up where he left off. You're really telling me you'd rather have Bailey or Lester than Hisashi Iwakuma? And I won't even start on Herc ranking Gallardo ahead of him. You guys are NUTS, all caps, nuts.
In my defense...
Does that mean we can get more almonds?
Oh, that'd be nice.
In my defense, I haven't touched my rankings in a week. I'm doing it today. I'll take a hard, long look at my starting pitchers. But yeah, Iwakuma has been fantastic, and he's definitely moving up my rankings.
Thanks for having my back there, Herc. Although I will agree with Kayla about Gallardo, but yeah, I'll stick with my 29th ranking. I'll stick with having Bailey and Lester ahead of them. And here's the thing with the argument that Kayla makes. So she says, all right, tied with Kershaw for best ERA in 50 starts by a pitcher since 1920. Well, there's a big difference between pitchers who have had 50 starts and, you know, pitchers who have had a few hundred. And it's a lot of innings, no doubt. But Iwakuma, if you give him a normal strand rate, he's Hyunjin Ryu, who okay. I wouldn't rank 29th. So I'm giving Iwakuma some benefit of the doubt there. 80% plus strand rates in each of his first two seasons. That reminds me of another pitcher who did the same thing, Jeremy Hellickson.
Okay.
He didn't maintain that, and he became somebody much less interesting to fantasy owners. So I'm not saying that Iwakuma is going to become what Hellickson became because his skill set's better. But like I said, you take away some of those stranded runners, he's Ryu.
And listen, Kayla, she's just upset because she's a huge Dustin Ackley fan, and I went after Ackley in my column this week. Oh. So she's just player hating. So.
If you say anything bad about anything related to Seattle sports, Kayla Van Horn is on your...
Oh, exactly.
Should I not have said her last name?
I don't think she might.
I think that's been put out there on this podcast before.
Kayla is on your case.
I really like Starbucks, though. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And Pearl Jam.
Exactly. Yeah. Email of the day number two is from Nick in D.C.
And Safeco's a very nice place to watch ball game.
It looks nice.
Yeah.
What to do with Alex Wood? Should I drop him for Keuchel, Pomerantz, or Lyles, or Taiwan Walker, or James Paxton?
Our boy Scott White is, you know, saying Alex Wood's going to get back into the rotation. Likely going to happen. Hopefully Aaron Harang will start pitching like Aaron Harang. And he's worth holding on to, especially in head-to-head leagues where he has SPARP eligibility. You don't want to lose that.
Yeah, and if all those pitchers are available in your league, stick with the guy who, if he's in the rotation, is probably the best.
I mean, I would love to have Pomerantz. I mean, there's got to be other guys on your team where you can get these guys on your roster.
Yeah, that's my take on it, too.
Tweet of the day number one is from Mark Weber. How about Zach Britton for saves for Baltimore?
Yeah, I think I actually answered this one in the real Twitter world.
Oh.
If that's kind of oxymoron, actually. But, and my response was, you know, I think that would actually be a great idea, but I don't know that the Orioles will do that. I've seen it speculated on, but no kind of, you know, hard reports on it.
I picked up Doolittle and O'Day today. I dropped Farnsworth and Robbie Ross. Need saves. That Farnsworth thing was took me by surprise.
Leave it to the Mets. It's just the Mets way.
All right. Injuries, news, and notes part one. And then we're going to do some player debates in a little bit and some buy or sell. CC Sabathia has no structural damage in his knee, but there is a degenerative change in the knee. I don't know what that means, but it can't be good. Dylan G is on the DL with a lat strain, and Jacob DeGrom is going to start today against the Yankees. So DeGrom is probably not worth pursuing, right? It seems short-term. They're hoping G comes back in two starts.
Right, yeah. It's a short-term thing. I'm not sure even if DeGrom's stuck in the rotation that I'd be all that interested.
Matt Harrison likely out for the season for Texas. He probably needs spinal surgery, and let's hope he's able to make it back. This could be a career-threatening injury. Martin Perez is likely facing Tommy John surgery if he elects to rest and rehab, still 10 to 12 weeks. So
another one?
Drop him.
Rangers fans need a hug, too, this week.
Yeah, they're in trouble. Carlos Gomez dropped his appeal, and he missed last night. He'll miss two more games, perfectly coinciding with his back injury. So,
yeah, but he doesn't get paid when you're suspended, right?
I doubt it.
I believe that's correct.
AJ Ellis off the DL for the Dodgers. Ben Zobrist dislocated his thumb. He's likely to go on the DL. Michael Brantley left yesterday's game with back tightness. Jason Grilley could be nearing a rehab assignment. I don't know if I said it on the podcast, but my bold prediction is that Grilley gets the job back when he comes back, doesn't pitch that well. Mark Melancon ends up as the closer.
I like it.
What do you think?
I don't agree with it.
Oh.
But as far as bold predictions,
Al's in fighting mood today, man. He wants to get to these player debates.
Yeah.
It's coming. It's coming, Herc.
Brad Miller committed his seventh error, matching his amount through 68 games last year.
You mean Bad Miller?
Bad Miller.
Exploring all different avenues of badness.
And would you guys drop Marcus Stroman at this point? He's given up 4 earned runs in each of his last 2 outings out of the bullpen. Not inspiring much confidence.
He is droppable.
Amen.
Or as I might say sometimes, he's droppable. Because you know those candies, poppables, that are in the stores?
No.
Oh. Well, you know, I think that the second P in it is capitalized. So the first time I saw it, I turned to my wife and I said, why would they call candy poppables?
I'm sorry.
She goes, oh, honey, you need to go lie down.
Yeah, pretty much.
I haven't really been paying attention because I'm ready for Herc on Phonics now.
Herc on Phonics. How's this going to work? Are you going to show me the names?
I think I'll spell them.
Oh, this is going to be good.
I like how you just wrote another theme song for yourself there.
Oh, yeah?
Herc on Phonics.
Okay, let's see. All right. Well, how about the Marlins shortstop? Chris Bunn wants you to say the Marlins shortstop's name.
Adini Hechavarria?
Incorrect on both accounts. Danny Echevarria.
Darn.
I don't know who this guy is.
Oh, fool.
Another one from Chris here. E-R-I-S-B-E-L.
E-R-I-S-B-E-L.
A-R-R-U-E. B-A.
Oh, this is so unfair.
R-R-E-N-A. You know who this is?
I know who it is, but I can't pronounce it.
Arisabal Arubu N-A-A.
You nailed it, dude.
Yeah.
The Rockies pitcher, J-H-O-U.
Oh, Julius Chacin?
Yolish Chacin.
All right.
That works. Cardinals third base coach, Jose O-Q-U-E.
Oh, former Mets.
Oh, Jose Oquendo?
Yeah.
No. He's a Cardinal, right?
Yeah.
Was he ever with the Mets?
I don't think
I'm
so.
I'm just making that up. All right.
There you go.
Sorry.
Get me excited for nothing.
Marlins reliever, A-R-Q-U-I-M-E-D-E-S.
Oh, wait, you got to spell that a little slower.
A-R-Q-U-I-M-E-D-E-S.
Okay.
C-A-M-I-N-E-R-O. This is easy.
C-A-M-I-N-E-R-O.
Oquendo was a Met.
Oh, well, there you go. Arkendi's Caminino?
Can you at least try? You have to put your best foot forward or no one's going to...
Wait, maybe I didn't spell it right.
Spell it again.
A-R-Q-U-I-N-E-D-M. Oh. Archimedes Caminero?
Haven't you ever seen The Sword in the Stone?
No.
Archimedes!
Ah.
Jeez, Herc. And then the guy who had the fake passport was proposed to us, but I'm not even going to try that one. All right, and that's been today's version. Herc on Phonics. Here's my question. Are they this good? Tell me if these pitchers are this good. Willy Peralta, another good start. 2.05 ERA. Not a ton of strikeouts. Garrett Richards. 7 scoreless, 5 hits, no walks, 8 Ks at the Phillies, and he is striking out a batter per inning. A lot of walks, but 4 straight starts with 2 walks or fewer, so hopefully that's going down. And Corey Kluber has been on fire. Last 3 starts, 5 earned runs over 21 and 2/3. 16 hits, 3 walks, 31 strikeouts in 21 and 2/3 over his last 3 starts. And his ERA is down to 3.38.
We're going to save him for the player debate, aren't we?
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Are Peralta and Garrett Richards this good?
All right. Well, you know how you're always tinkering with the worryometer?
Yeah.
Recalibrating? All right. So I think we need to... set the parameters here for the goodometer, because none of them are this good. Corey Kluber's not going to average like 15 Ks per 9, and Willy Peralta's not going to have a 2 ERA.
Well, are they must-start guys?
But, all right, there we go.
That's the goodometer. 0 to 10 on the goodometer. 10, as 10 much is as, must-start.
As much as I like Peralta, I'm going to go maybe like 6 or 7. I'm just not – I mean, he's still back at the rotation for me. I don't know where I have him in my rankings, but he's not – you know, top 25 guy.
Yeah. He's legit, because I wouldn't have given him a 7, which is what I think I'll give Peralta now.
Yeah.
Last year. Mm-hmm. So he's made legitimate improvement. But yeah, I wouldn't start him every week.
What about Garrett Richards?
Yeah, I feel like he's a little closer than Peralta. I'll bump him up to 8.
Because of the SPARP eligibility?
No, because of the strikeout eligibility.
But he wasn't this good of a strikeout pitcher in the minors. What
He's throwing
happened?
Really hard.
I'm not buying this. If this
I mean,
is, if we, this
I could see what Baseball Prospectus has to say about how hard he's throwing. Or you could, at least.
It's true. Yeah. I have a computer here.
I mean, I guess he's just, you know, he's reaching his prime. He's getting more innings in the majors. But I just, the thing with me is about connecting the dots, and I just don't know where to connect the dots with Garrett Richards. I think he's just off to a good start.
Right. That's why I put in the notes, what is happening here?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's look, I mean, Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah.
He's been a lot better.
But he's been really thriving on his slider changeup combination, keeping hitters off balance.
Yeah, well, the velocity looks about the same for Richards off the.
Which is what?
95-ish on average.
So he's always been a hard thrower.
Yeah, he has. But, you know, more of a ground ball guy. And actually, yes, it is up a bit this year. It's actually, he's averaging almost 96. So that might have something to do with it. But I read a really cool piece on MLB.com about him a few days ago where it's just been a work in progress for him and figuring stuff out. So I just buy the consistency.
Let's do some player debates. So Herc and Al came up with a list of five players that Al is for and Herc is against or vice versa. Let's start with Everett Cabrera. Al is for Everett Cabrera. Herc is against. I'm supposed to be the arbitrator here, right?
Yeah, the judge.
All right.
So we present our case. So go ahead, Al.
All right.
Everett Cabrera.
Everett Cabrera. So he started to pick up the steals. I feel like we can rely on Cabrera for steals, and that's mostly what you drafted him for. But you want some runs from him. You want a better-than-average batting average. And the thing that worries me about him the most is probably the runs because of how bad the Padres lineup has been. But I don't really buy that the Padres are that bad of a team offensively. Oh, it's evil laugh. Like I just walked into the trap there. He's capable of being a much better contact hitter. So I feel like there's upside to be fulfilled there. And the steals are reliable. So I still trust him as a top 10 shortstop.
Wrong. What has Everett Cabrera really done in his career? For as decent of a contact
I mean, we just said Everett Cabrera like four times. And you okay, go ahead.
So he's a career 252 hitter with a 325 on-base percentage. Not even close to what he did in the minors. He's a good source of steals, and he's coming on in that area. But right now, he has less fantasy points than Brandon Hicks and Adani Hechavarria.
Sure.
All right. Even in Roto, he's behind Asdrubal Cabrera and Brandon Crawford. That is not top 10 quality. I'd rather own Xander Bogaerts, Alexi Ramirez, and Jahani Peralta over Cabrera.
See, now I just think he's messing with us. Well, look, I mean, Herc, it's not necessarily fair to say where he is now in the rankings because you could say Robinson Cano is behind all these guys.
Yes,
guys have gotten off to a bad start.
But I don't see him as a top 10, and I listed a bunch of guys I'd rather own long-term over Cabrera. He hasn't done anything in his major league career compared to what he did in the minors.
Well, I think if he steals bases like he's been doing the last two
seasons.
In
Roto, that's fine, but right now, even with stolen bases, he's right behind Cabrera and Crawford. I mean,
but he hasn't really stolen that many bases. He only has 7 steals in 38 games, but he has 3 in his last 7.
Yeah, you got to get on base. And if his on-base percentage doesn't increase, well, the steals aren't going to be there.
All right, I'm going with Al on this one.
Ooh.
Like, I could see Xander Bogaerts being a lot better, but he's really done nothing except for get on base. Like, he doesn't excel in any category.
But he has more potential than Cabrera.
He does have more potential, but when is he going to realize that potential? Like, if you cannot be telling me right now that you're starting Xander Bogaerts over Everett Cabrera.
Yep, look at my rankings. Absolutely.
But how could you justify that?
I have Jonathan VR ahead of... Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Yeah. ahead of Cabrera. I think he's a better first source of power. He's getting on base. He's stealing the same amount as Cabrera. I just can't. I'm not buying Cabrera as a top 10 shortstop.
I will say that, Herc, you've convinced me that shortstop is loaded with players with names I really like. Xander, Jahani, Everth. I like those names.
Nice.
Next up, Al is for Homer Bailey, and Herc is against it. Go ahead, Herc. You can start.
Defense goes first? Well, thank you, Your Honor.
Yeah, you proceed.
All right. So, to me, with Homer Bailey, he's very unpredictable. I'll give him credit. His last two seasons, he's been, you know, solid arm. But this season, he got off to a slow start, and that highlights what I mean. So, the only month in his career he has lower than a 4.0 ER is September, October. So, I have to wait the whole season to get what I need out of Homer Bailey. It's 409 or higher in every other month. His whip is also 1.2 or lower in just 2 months. And he wins about half the time. So to me, what Homer Bailey is... Now, the thing we're arguing here is that Al has him pretty high in the rankings. I view Homer Bailey as more of a number three or number four starter in mixed leagues, which is fine. But he's like Bronson Arroyo to me, that he chews up innings and he's a threat for double-digit wins. But, you know, I could do without Arroyo on my roster, and I'm really not targeting him when I'm drafting on draft day. It's just a guy I would like to have, but I don't value him that high.
All right, and yeah, I feel like Bailey is in a whole different class than Arroyo. And those monthly splits, that's for the career.
Yeah.
He had some bad years early in his career, I think, that have skewed that. I think if we looked over the last two, three seasons, I'm guessing he has to have several months.
Yeah, I was just looking at it. That's exactly where I was going with that. I didn't think that was a fair comparison, Herc.
Listen, I'm the defense here. I get to stretch the numbers, all right? That's what the defense does.
Objection sustained. Because he only had 1 month last year with an ERA over four, and that was May. So, I mean, like 276 in July, 355 in August, 313 in September. So I think Al's going to probably say he broke out last year, so he's a different pitcher.
I'd say he did break out last year and really started to figure things out as early as 2011 when he stopped walking so many guys. And then last year we saw the emergence of a higher strikeout rate that he's continued on into this season.
Where are the wins, though? That's huge.
13 in 2012, 11 last year, not... I think he's deserving of better than that, especially since...
But that's Bronson Arroyo numbers. Reds. That's what makes the point, you know?
The wins, sure. And you know what? And you know what? Yeah, the last 2 years, the ERAs, I think, have been comparable. But the strikeouts are where they really are different. Because, yeah, Arroyo's probably maybe a slightly better control pitcher, but he's nowhere in the same class as
Homer
Bailey.
Not saying you don't own Homer Bailey, but I think you have to view him as a number three or number four guy.
But I don't think there's any part of Arroyo's game that's even close to being better.
But Arroyo, in fantasy, like I made this case, like if you look at where he is, he's a top 30 fantasy pitcher in the points leagues when it's all said and done. So I'm saying that's where Homer Bailey is. He's a guy that's good. You want in your rotation. I'm just saying he's not an ace.
Yeah, but in Roto, Arroyo's value isn't Bailey's.
I agree with that because his whip's a little higher.
Well,
so
I've got Bailey way ahead of Arroyo, and
everybody better have Bailey
in points leagues.
Yeah,
because the strikeouts do matter there too.
This is what do you have Bailey in his rankings, in Al's rankings?
21st, I believe.
Yeah, I'm not buying him as a top 25 guy. So
yeah, and I mean you use the term ace. I mean to me is the ace's top 10, maybe 15. Yeah, Bailey, to me, is a little shy of that.
But, all right. Yeah. I'll go with Herc here because I like Herc's ranking 33rd more than 21st.
All right. I got to win.
I think he's probably – like, I like Scott's ranking the best, 27th. Splits the difference.
So Scott gets the win
right
like he's
in
not
the
here.
Middle.
Scott wins the debate that
Scott
he's
wins.
Not even participating.
All right. Al is for Corey Kluber, and Herc is against him.
Go ahead, Al.
Yeah. Corey Kluber, yeah. Not going to strike out 15 per 9, but I could see pretty close to a strikeout per inning for Kluber, and a guy that throws strikes. That's a good combination. In fact, you know, we talked before about Iwakuma being sort of unreasonably good in two seasons with stranding runners. Kluber, for whatever reason, just at the opposite end of the spectrum. And some pitchers never really are great with that. That's my one concern with Kluber. But everything else that he does makes him really a top 30 to 40 pitcher. And, you know, strand rate is a funny thing that can change from year to year. So that's a potential that he can realize.
All right. Here's why I don't think Kluber is a 30 to 40 pitcher. Because look at his home and road splits. He's really good at home. He had a good road start last night. But going into that road start, he had a 5.15 ERA and 1.49 whip in his career on the road. Here's a guy that, so in fantasy, to be a 30 to 40 pitcher like Homer Bailey, you're probably starting Homer Bailey every week. That means you're going to start Corey Kluber every week. With his as bad as he on the road, when he's on the road, you have to really consider benching Kluber. And fantasy owners were doing that from week 3 to 7. His ownership was his starting percentage was less than 60% in those weeks. So fantasy owners are really confused about what to do with Corey Kluber. Like you said, he's not this good strikeout guy.
Well, no, he is a good strikeout. He's not. He's not, not a.
He's not
Craig Kimbrell.
1.5 per inning
in a starting role.
So, I mean, the thing is, like, you know, going into, you know, last night's start, He was ranked behind Josh Beckett and Roto. He was barely in front of Chris Young and Scott Feldman, and those guys aren't top 40 material. In points league, he had less points than Mike Leake, Ian Kennedy, and Tom Kohler. So even when he had those good starts, he just wasn't that top 40 guy to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing with Kluber is like there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of bad starts in there, and I never really know what to make of it. This stretch, these last three, I don't know if it's the best three-game stretch of his career, but it might be.
I would guess it is.
Right?
Yeah.
So the question is he breaking out? Is he going to be able to put it together more consistently?
I mean, he had good numbers in 147 innings last year. I'm not going to deny that, but he's just so unpredictable.
Yeah.
The road thing kills me. You just don't know what pitch you're going to get on the road.
All right. I would say I'm still more in Herc's camp, but I think your ranking of him is way too low. 87th?
Yeah,
are you kidding?
I'll move him up.
Like, he's a top 60 pitcher.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about this three-game stretch. Like, I'm not sure. Think of Corey Kluber. Like, all those guys in front of him, I probably want still. So, but I'll make some change. I mean, Henry Mejia is on that list. I haven't touched my rankings.
Tim Lincecum's
so,
out of him.
Yeah,
that's,
so,
that's
I mean,
change.
Kluber's going up in my rankings, but, you know, like you said, you had top 40.
His potential.
He has him 39.
Is that right?
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
All right. Moving on. Nolan Arenado. Herc is four. Nolan Arenado. Al is against. Herc, go.
All right. So I talked about connecting.
This will be our last one.
All right. So I talked about connecting the dots. And this offseason, he worked tirelessly on correcting his approach. Can I just quote him real quick? He said he was staying on his back leg more, recognizing pitches, and he called that's what you're supposed to do to hit. Last year, he said he created a lot of bad habits that got him into trouble. Like when he's turning his hips and staying back, he can have success. And look at his numbers. I mean, he's hitting .315 with a .512 slugging percentage. It's close to what he did in the minors. He had .299 and .473 slugging percentage. So if he was hitting .350 and .600, I'd be more concerned. But it's close to what he did in the minors when he was a top prospect. So I think this is the true Arenado. And he still gets to play half his games at Coors Field.
And I'm actually going to take that the argument, the basis of the argument, the comparison of the minor league numbers, and that's why I'm still hedging a little bit on Arenado, because the difference between us is you have him in the top 10, right?
Yeah.
I've got him, I think, 14th or 15th?
Correct.
And he certainly could be a top 10 second or third baseman, excuse me. but the minor leagues, even though he has great, great contact skills, he didn't really do enough with balls in play to hit over 300 in his last full season in the minors, which was 2012 at AA when he hit .285. So I don't doubt the fact that he's not going to strike out very much. I don't doubt the fact that he's capable of the power that he's shown so far. But I'm skeptical of the .315 batting average, and I think the power we're seeing may actually be sort of the upside, and it could regress a little bit. So while the potential's there for him being a top 10 third baseman, I feel like when you take all the possible outcomes we could have for Arenado this year, he falls short of being a top 10.
He's hitting .333 on the road. Maybe the power's not there yet, but if you keep making that much contact, it should come.
No, I mean, he's a good contact hitter, yeah. And I think he'll have a good batting average, but I just feel like he's overachieving now, and he'd have to continue overachieving to be a top 10 guy.
This is his breakout season. No doubt in my mind.
I have no idea. Because I look at the guys that are ranked around him.
Yeah.
Pedro Alvarez, Ryan Zimmerman, Kyle Seager, Rendon. Like, I think they all seem pretty kind of close to me. And I don't know what would separate Arenado. This is what I would say about Arenado. For a guy who had a 28 or 29-game hitting streak, I thought his numbers would be a little bit better. Like, his numbers are really good, and he is the number two third baseman in fantasy. The third baseman have been really bad. Like, think about Longoria and Beltre and Wright and even Miguel Cabrera, who's now up to fourth. But you know, he was off to a really bad start. I don't know. I just kind of thought Arenado, for having that long of a hitting streak, I feel like he should be hitting like .350 right now and not .315.
No, I think that's – and to me, that's the great argument for him, that he wasn't doing anything out of the ordinary, and this is the production he developed. I mean, he was giving you a lot of fantasy points. He was great in Roto. That to me is saying he's for real.
Well, you know, whether he was doing it consistently with, you know, a hit or two per game or not, I don't know. I just don't really think that matters. The point is, he's hitting .315, and but all his owners should be really happy with that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I also feel like they should be prepared for a little bit of regression.
Well, how big of a drop, though? You're saying 285. That's not a huge drop.
Yeah, and I think he could actually do a little better than that. But given that, I think that the batting average could fall, you know, 25, 30 points, that I wouldn't be at all surprised to see the power drop off a little bit. Mm-hmm. That still gives him a breakout season.
Yeah.
I'm just not buying the magnitude of the breakout we've seen over the first quarter of the season.
I think I'd probably side with Al.
Oh!
But I'm going to just call it a tie.
All right. That means I win. Woohoo!
All right, let's do some buy or
sell. Good
job,
Al.
Yeah, you too, Herc.
Matthew
Kotz.
Congrats
on the win.
Thank you.
Matthew Kotz, buy or sell Jason Hayward.
I'm still buying.
Yep.
Yeah.
Brian Davis, buy or sell. Every time you mention Tyler Moore, you, like me, automatically want to sing Buddy Holly by Weezer.
I'm selling that because every time he's mentioned, I'm going to the actual Mary Tyler Moore theme song.
Oh, I get it
now. I said to Brian, I said, think about who's on the podcast today. How many, between me, Herc, and Al, how many of us do you think are actually going to get that reference?
I didn't.
The Weezer one?
Yeah. You know it?
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, Al, all right.
It's a great song.
Great song.
You know that song?
I know the song, but I didn't put it together. I'm sitting here. You saw me. I'm like, Tyler Moore, Buddy Holly.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah. Tyler Moore. You like Weezer?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How about that?
Some Place in the Sun, right? Whatever the song.
No, you're thinking about
that's Island in the Sun that you're thinking about.
No, you're thinking of Blister in the Sun.
That's by Weezer, though, right?
No, Island in the Sun. Island in the Sun is by Weezer.
There we go. See, I knew it was something in the Sun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's the song that has the lyrics Island in the Sun in it, as opposed to Buddy Holly, which has the lyric Buddy Holly in it, you know?
Well, I'm glad we get that all.
Hey, at least
out.
I got anyway. Buddy Holly right, all right?
Sean Callahan, or as Herc would say, Callaghan.
Yeah.
Jason Mott will take over the closer role before July 1st. Buy or sell?
Buy.
Sell.
Philip Hambly.
That was helpful.
Philip Hambly, buy or sell Chris Davis, final stat line. 270, 20 homers, 70 RBI.
So
I mean, like, we have to, like, exactly that? Because I don't know if he's trying to say...
Better or at that or better in every category.
Sell.
Oh, this is Chris Davis with a K, by the way. 270, 20, and 70 RBI. Right now he's at 226 with 4 and 10.
We're buying. He can do at least that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm buying it.
Sell.
That's a heck of a finish. That's 60 RBI.
Well, you know what? I'm sort of hedging now because, yeah, the homers, the RBI, yeah. I think I'm selling the batting average.
All right.
So if it's all-inclusive, I'm changing to a sell.
Okay.
Attaboy.
And it is all-inclusive. Alex says, CJ Krohn will get enough playing time to produce. Buy or sell?
Sell.
Yeah, I'm selling too.
Really? Why?
Well, it's kind of a double-barreled question. Can he get playing time? Yeah, I think he could. I think he could stick in the lineup, but I just don't think he's going to produce a whole lot aside from power.
I mean, Josh Hamilton and Cole Calhoun are coming back.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Maybe Ibanez sits.
So they could go Trout, Calhoun, and Hamilton. Yeah, they could still DH him.
They could, but I mean, he's not, like he said, he's not going to get full-time at-bats. I mean, Raul Ibanez is still really good against right-handed pitchers. So
I don't know. I could see if yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if he is.
Even with playing time, I don't think Krohn produces.
Listen, he
enough.
Almost caught up to old man Pujols yesterday on the base pass when they were trying to score in that double.
Did he?
Almost. He had to stop at third base. Pujols was so slow.
Wow. All right. John Russell, buy or sell, Papelbon will leave the NL in saves.
Sell?
Yeah, me too.
It's very specific.
It's going to have to beat out Crod.
Jason, Brandon McCarthy is 12-team head-to-head category worthy. Buy or sell?
Because this is asked very broadly, I will buy it because I could see starting him in that format in a 2-start week.
Really?
Yeah. Very underrated.
Really?
Very underrated, yeah.
I think I'm with Adam on this one. I'm selling it.
What has he done to make you think he's overrated? I know his last few starts, 2 starts have been really good.
Throwing a ton of strikes, getting ground balls again. Very, very good control pitcher. If you feel comfortable going with, you know, the 2-start Loches, Arroyos, those guys, no reason not to trust McCarthy in certain weeks.
Okay.
Sorry.
Brian, what'd you do?
I dropped something. I'm sorry.
Brian.
Oh, thanks, sir.
Durthick. Buy or sell, sell David Price after his awesome start.
I don't think so. Nah. Best is yet to come.
I like that.
Ryan Lambert. Buy or sell, Zach Wheeler walks 120 batters this year.
Sell.
Sell that.
Josh. Go ahead, Herc.
Adorati?
Sure.
All right.
Sell Cargo's steals this year?
To whom?
Charlie Blackman.
Okay.
All right, how many steals does he have? Let's take a look. Carlos Gonzalez has... Oh, I got to click on the other Carlos Gonzalez there. Not the pitcher in the Reds organization. Two steals. Two steals. What the hell?
Oh,
I didn't realize that.
I didn't either, which is why we all sat here in silence waiting for you to pull that number up.
The only attempts of the year. He stole 24 last year and 110, or 21 last year and 24 attempts in 110 games. He has two steals.
So I'll sell that and expect more, because it just seems like steals could be a little streaky too.
Yeah.
Good Kirk? Call. Yeah, I mean,
you think maybe, he gets to 20?
Maybe.
I'll buy that.
Yeah, I'll buy that too.
All right. Andrew Minucci, Scott Kazmir, 18 wins, sub 3 ERA.
Sell.
Selling it again. I'll buy the ERA.
Really?
I know it's extreme. I think he's capable, put it that way. But I don't really think he's going to get 18 wins.
Josh PGE, buy or sell Yanhervis Solarte starting 95% of the rest of the season.
I'm selling that.
Sell.
He'll cool off. You'll see Kelly Johnson get some starts.
Yeah, yeah. I'd buy like 80% though, I think.
That's an interesting question. Yeah, I think I'm going to go. I'd go. I'm not even really that comfortable with 75.
Yeah, I sell that too.
I think Jeter gets hurt and he'll play some shortstop.
Yeah, but there's a production going to be there. That's what I'm concerned
well,
about.
Well, it's just the starts here.
No, I think Solarte will produce well enough when he plays, but.
I thought this is fantasy owner starting percentage, no?
No.
Okay.
Starting playing times. No, he's not going to be started 95% of leagues.
I feel like an auctioneer. Like, I keep selling everything. Sold, sold, sell.
And Drew Chino says, buy or sell, the Mets actually pick a closer.
I can't wait to hear Kirk's response. So.
Oh, sell.
Look, I've always thought Terry Collins done a pretty good job with a pretty bad team. But
No. Again, I go back to the Marlins game a few weeks ago where Daisuke walked the first two batters, had nothing, left them in
horrendous.
There. I mean, he doesn't know how to manage a pitching staff.
Well, this year has been really weird with the... Okay, they say Juan Lagares is the starting center fielder. And Eric Young is now in control of that. I don't want to say in control.
Switched how many times? 3-4 times that story?
He doesn't know. I mean, yeah. You know.
The Ike Davis, Lucas Duda thing was crazy. This bullpen stuff. Just like, come on.
Listen.
I'll buy it. I mean, it might not be till July, but I'll buy it.
You know, the thing with Terry Collins is the media loves him because he's open. And we love that. But everything in his mind, he tells us. He shouldn't tell us everything in his mind because he's getting us very confused.
All right, we didn't get to most of the stuff here. Do you think Eduardo Nunez, who's on his way to being outfield eligible?
You sound disappointed. It's like an awesome show today, man.
Yeah, I know. I just feel bad. I hate when we don't read emails.
Can we read one email?
Not really. It's got like two pages of notes.
Yeah, I feel like that was a good compromise, Herc.
All right.
Yeah, one email.
Do you feel like Gordon Beckham, Eduardo Nunez, or Lonnie Chisenhall need to be owned in more leagues?
I'm going to say no. Maybe... See, the thing with Gordon Beckham is I wrote earlier this week that he's hitting, but if you look, his hot streak got back to his career norms, so I think he's just going to cool off again.
I do think Chisenhall, just because he's only owned in 10%, yeah, that's pretty low.
All right, I don't know if you guys know the answer to this, but this is the mission I have for all of us. Why does Terry Francona DH Chisenhall and play Carlos Santana at third base? It just seems more logical to switch that.
Well, I mean, do you know the answer?
No, I have no idea.
No, I don't either. I thought maybe it was like a riddle.
I went on Fangraphs and I looked up Carlos Santana's defensive numbers.
Brutal, right?
The Mission Impossible song?
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Maybe Chisenhall's bad too. I didn't look that up, but it doesn't make sense.
I think, you know, my theory, completely unsubstantiated theory, is just that they want Santana to get acclimated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he homered last night. And the reason I was going to bring this up, he homered as a third baseman last night. His numbers have been pretty bad across the board, but like especially bad at third base. Last night, the home run is going to help his numbers. But I felt like when he played first base a little bit, like he did a little bit better. So I'd like to get him off of third base.
Yeah, well, he said early in the season, he said, moving around is really messing with my focus.
No, so I guess they just want to keep him in one place. But I thought it would make more sense to keep him at DH or first and let Chisenhall play third, but...
Now,
what do I know?
They need to
Indians fans out there, help me out.
Bring up Jesus Aguilar. Come on.
You love prospects, son. Did you make your Twitter avatar the prospect now?
What about it?
Did you make your Twitter
avatar? I did. Well, go on Twitter and see, yeah.
All right, I got to confirm.
Thank you to everybody, because I got actually 3 different photos.
Oh, sent. You did?
But I took the first one.
Oh, this one. I didn't see this one.
It's awesome.
That's great. All right. Thanks, everyone, for helping out, as you always do.
And I'm sorry, I would shout out to the people who sent that, but I don't have that info at the ready.
I can't wait for next week's Hooked on Phonics.
Hey, let's get out of 7,000 followers already. At Al Melk CBS, MELC. We only need 201 followers to get there.
All right, I'll follow you, Al Melk.
Thanks, Herc.
Mission to 8,000, or 7,000. We'll go to 8 after that.
Did I get your last name right?
I don't think you tried.
I said Melkier.
Oh, you did get it right.
All right.
So much for Herc on Phonics.
It's working.
Bye, everyone.